Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Joining me today on the podcast is the head strength and conditioning coach at Louisiana Tech, Kurt Hester. Kurt, it's great to have you here today.
Thanks for having me, man. Good to hear from you, man.
Well, before we got going, I told you I really appreciate what you guys doing. I think at the highest levels, we've come a long way in that, I'm seeing more and more guys like you highly involved with the coaching staff. In fact, we backed up today's podcast so you could spend some time with a head ball coach and with a defensive coordinator and just get involved in those guys. And I was really interested just how your involvement with your coaches at Louisiana Tech is going right now. And I think, again, I think it's something that I see this game evolving to, maybe a little bit slower than it should, but it's definitely heading in the right direction.
I mean, everything, I think, back in the day, it's still not even back in the day. You still have strength coaches or performance coaches or, whatever they want to call themselves now. They're still more or less weight room warriors. They still are the screamers that walk up and down the platform and yell and scream, but they really can't do a whole lot in movement outside. They're more comfortable out, in the weight room. They go outside, and a lot of these street coaches, they can't even move themselves. I mean, they can't teach a drill. They can't mechanically teach anything, any concepts in movement, whether it's COD, basic sprint mechanic drills, basic skill acquisition drills by position. And, the game is played on the field. It's not played in the weight room. And that old adage that, football players are built in the weight room, yes and no. They're semi-built in the weight room. But you have to, use the weight room to facilitate movement on the field. And we're still in the dark ages when it comes to that, because you still have a lot of old school football coaches that want to be, have the yellers and screamers that just pound kids into submission, thinking they're going to make them tougher. And it doesn't happen. Either you make a choice to be tough or you don't. You're not going to make a kid who's not tough tougher. He might get in a little bit better shape, but he's still not tougher, until he makes that conscious decision. Here at Tech, I've always, been involved with every position coach. I'll sit and watch film with them. They actually want me to watch film with them during recruiting. Say, hey, Kurt, do you think this kid moves well enough? And so I, even in recruiting of handing out scholarships, I will sit in each room and watch film of high school kids. And, we watch film, a practice film of how can we get our guys to move better in the realm of the way that the position coach is teaching their position. So we're not just in the weight room. We're everywhere. And if I can do it at Tech and I have no staff, I have two paid interns and that's it. If I can do it, then these huge staffs, in Power Five, they can easily do it. It's just, they choose not to, they choose just to stay in the weight room.
It's interesting, with all the resources and budgets that, you do have that ability. And honestly, you can do this, as you said, on a shoestring budget. You can do this at the high school level. It's really what you choose to focus on. And so at this time of the year, everybody's heading into their training camp. And unfortunately, we're still probably more towards the popular film from years back that was on ESPN, Junction Boys, where Bear Bryant took these guys out and physically just, for lack of better words, tortured them right into toughness, into making a team. And as I look at what happens across the country at this time, sometimes maybe we're too close to that and we're not looking enough at the skill development side of how we approach this time of the year.
Yeah, because a lot of coaches still think that you will build mental toughness in your training program throughout the year. And do you need to make some things hard, but making it hard is really just developing your standard, saying this is how you're going to line up. This is where your feet going to be. This is the position I want you in, and never deviating that standard. That makes any conditioning modality tough, a lot tougher. And we're still like in that glycolytic, love to drive our guys into the ground in glycolysis, because that's what that's the 300 yard shuttles and the 110s and the gassers and all these old school conditioning modalities that actually inhibit your power output, in the alactic system. And that you're taking all the ability that you formulate in the weight room and all your sprint patterns and all your acceleration deceleration work, you're killing it on the back end by training in glycolysis, because you're pushing this, all these hydrogen ions and the lactic and blood lactate, and bottom line, you're just destroying your power output. And coaches, but they love it because the guys are on the ground. Oh, you're making them tough, and it's hard, and it's and we're building our program. It's like you're destroying your athleticism on the back end by doing that. And that's the kind of mentality is just these sport coaches have to learn more of the science. And once they, if you can sit down, like I just spent an hour with our D coordinator breaking down physiological systems, and he was like, God, Kurt, no one ever explained it to me. You're right, and you're not going to make them tougher, and we're screwing this up, and we need to be smarter, and we need to because at our level, at my level, I barely have 22 starters. And the next guy up is like a three. We don't even have twos. Next guy up's like a red shirt freshman or a walk on. So it's not like I'm not a Power Five school where I have five stars behind each other. If one goes down, I have one guy, and he's got to play 80 plays at the highest level. And so that repeat sprintability of that repeat power output, bashing yourself into another 300 pound lineman for 80 straight plays needs to be high. And if I train by using shuttles and gassers and it doesn't equate to, it just drops their power output and doesn't equate to a better conditioned athlete for 80 plays in the spread offense. So, we have to be smarter. We have to be more conscious. We have to bottom line, there's no player's health should be put aside to say we are building mental toughness, that these players are dying, across the country in the guise of we're building mental toughness is the same. And it doesn't need to happen. There's a better way, a more efficient way, a more humane way, and it's like, if you got so many young coaches out there at high school and the college level that they won't say anything to the head football coach. They won't say anything to D coordinator, O coordinator. They won't voice their opinion. They just blindly follow what they say. And then they get a player injured or killed. And, you got to use your eyes and you got to use your head. You have a responsibility to your athletes. When they chose your school, they chose you. So in effect, they hired you to be their guy. And you should have that understanding of they chose me, and I'm gonna do my best to keep him safe his entire career. And that's how I feel. There's no coach on the planet that I'm gonna injure an athlete for.
Well, I think, and you brought this up before we got started too, your defensive guy wanting you out at practice to look at the technique, but also to see that it's breaking down, that fatigue setting in, that yes, you have the wearable technology. I'm not sure what brand you use. We just had Catapult on here and talked about, actually, I think it's great. I think the data is great, but I also think we got to get out of this box of we just kind of throw this stuff to the strength and conditioning coach and you do your thing and we do our thing. There has to be the marriage of the two. So your eyes out there, number one, helping us seeing those things, but also, hey, coaches learn, right? They're out there. Their eyes are starting to get trained to that too. We start to see, where's the breakdown? Okay, yeah, that guy's playing fatigued right now. What do we have to get him better at when he's here? And when do we need to start dialing back a little bit in practice?
Well, I mean, one thing about, technology, a lot of programs, it's all for recruiting. Now, a lot of times they put it on, they'll put it on and do videos and stuff, and a lot of times they don't even look at the data. It's to say, hey, look at us. We're doing things scientifically correct. We're ahead of the curve. We're training you know, we're training in the future, and they don't even use any of the data. And then there are the young coaches that all they do is stare at the data and they don't use their eyes. And like our D coordinator, Bob Diaco, he's like, Kurt, I want you, our meeting just now is I want you with our defense going from group to group, monitoring our players, telling me what you see, telling me if I need to back off. He goes, I'm not worried about the technology. I want to know what you see. You know, tell me what you see. Tell me what they need to do to become better movers, better hand strikers. You tell me on a daily basis where we're at, and I will adjust my practice volume to what you tell me. So, I mean, that's where you want to get. That's the impact you want to have on a team, not just be in the weight room, not just, you know, yell and scream at bench press and clean and squat and everything else, not just be out there yelling and screaming when you're trying to run them into the ground, is to actually help your athletes become better athletes on game day.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. A big part of what you do is help develop athleticism. And, you know, I do get the opportunity to talk to quite a few people. And I could say that there's certainly different philosophies around your part of this profession. But at some point, and, you know, if we just live in the weight room, there is the possibility, and you see it even all the way into the pros and all the different sports, that you start to train the athleticism out of the player, that functionally, because they're maybe getting out of balance in how they develop and not watching some of that to, you know, to get bigger numbers on a certain lift, that they struggle with the athleticism in a little bit. And that's, again, of course, where some of the breakdown starts to happen and injuries occur.
Well, I mean, if you take a springy athlete, a guy who's like got a lot of, he's a little stiff, but he's got a ton of spring, like a receiver or a DB that can just, I mean, when he runs, he bounces off the ground. I mean, it's just, he has that rapid, that foot contact, it's just on and off the ground, super, super rapid, super quick, and can have a great vertical. And if you put him in the weight room and overly strength train him, you make him slower. That you won't, you know, I mean, I've got guys who are some of the fastest guys who are coming out of high school, were 100 meter state champions, sprinters who are super springy. If I squatted them and, you know, did some insane lead work with them and try to get their maxes up to a crazy number just to say, hey, my guy squat this much, they would become slower. You know, I got a receiver right now. He barely squats 315. But he runs, you know, a 10.6 100 meters, and he runs a 4.3 40. And there's very few guys at the conference that can cover him. So, do I care about him squatting 400? No, I care about how well he plays. I don't care about numbers. Numbers are, you know, I get an athlete to a certain number, and he's good. Now I'm worried about how can he move, and how can I transition and make him more powerful out on the field and a better mover on the field, because that's where you play the game. I've never been, when I accepted the job here, the first thing I told Coach Holtz was, I am not a numbers guy. I'm not going to validate my job by numbers. Now, is our team going to be strong? Yes. But I'm not going to sit there and validate squat strength and bench strength and power clean strength every year, because it doesn't matter. What matters is if we lose games, fire me. If we're not in condition, fire me. But, you know, we've had 5 winning seasons. We're the only team, us in Wisconsin, are only 2 teams in the country that won 5 straight bowl games. So, and we put a lot of guys, you know, we're either 1 or 2 now in non-Power 5 programs of guys going to the NFL. And we're usually one of the top teams in the country with seniors with a degree in their hand while they're playing. So we're doing a lot of the right stuff here. And it's kind of contrary to what a lot of the Power 5 schools do, because they have great athletes, and quite honestly, they could probably use a Bowflex and a Thighmaster and a shake weight, and they probably get the same results on the field because they have severe genetics and they got, you know, 5 deep. So we have to build our at the group of 5 level and lower. You have to build your athletes, and so you better be building them, you know, the right way and so they can perform on the field.
And really, that's what, you know, a lot of our audience faces. They've got to build their athletes. They've got to take care of all those things. So as we get ready to kick off this season, Coach, and we're heading into, you know, that month that leads up to that first kickoff, what are the tips you have for coaches out there to best prepare their team for week one and make sure that that carries through the season? We're not just sharpening them up for week one, that we got to get all the way to 10 and beyond.
If they're not prepared now, then they're probably not going to be prepared for week one. I mean, they should be ready to go for week. You should have programmed to be ready for week one. You know, a lot of teams, you know, basically practice is, you know, in the glycolytic, in a glycolytic state. So, you know, that's why I don't do a lot of it, you know, in training, is because they're going to get it in practice. I mean, so why lose all my power before I even get to practice? They're going to get it in practice. If the coach doesn't listen to me and I can't dial them back on rep loads. If you have players like us, we only have starters. You better watch their rep count. You know, you better watch their legs, because, you know, you're not going to have your guys ready to play on that first game, because you'll bury them in the ground, and then they're going to be really slow and lethargic in playing. And then you're going to get your butt kicked because you buried them and didn't get their legs back underneath them. So like for us, we're going to manage our guys our entire 30 days of camp. I mean, we'll manage every rep that they have to make sure that they're ready to play. We open up with Texas, so, you know, we can't be down. We can't afford to get one person injured. You know, we only have, like I said, we don't even have 22 real stars. We have about 16, and everybody else is just role players that we roll in and out. So, I don't know. It's kind of hard to give somebody advice, this late into the season. Now, if you ask me in May, I could have said, you know, here's what you need to do throughout the summer. But, you know, football's here, you know, so it's kind of tough.
Well, yeah, and I think that's exactly kind of what I'm getting at here, is managing that load through training camp. And we don't want to sharpen the sword dull, right? We want them to be fast. We want them then to be able to really carry that through the season. It's not about, like I said, this is not Junction Boys right now and grind them into the ground. This is prep for week one. This is where all the skill is coming together with all the work that's been done in the off season to prep that team to be ready to go and play at optimal levels once they kick that ball off.
Well, they need to keep their definitely, you know, through, you know, all season. You still need to train, but you keep your volume low, you know, super low, and you stay between 70 and you know, probably 82, 80, you know, I don't ever get up to 85%. I just keep their strength up. And I'm very conservative with our central nervous system. I want to utilize it on the field. I don't want to burn it up in the weight room. And you know, it's performance that counts. So I'm straight to the point when it comes to training. I only do what's necessary to keep their body armor up and to keep them strong and to keep them healthy. And then the rest of the time, you know, we're on the field, becoming better skilled athletes. So. We do a lot of foot and ankle work, which, cause it's very passive and you can get a lot done without incurring, you know, any fatigue in the body and cause everything starts at your feet. So we do a ton of correctional stuff to keep them moving, especially when they're in cleats all day long and their feet get destroyed because, you know, no matter what Nike and Adidas say, you know, those cleats are still terrible. You know, they still destroy your feet.
Yeah, I was just with a former player of ours who's at the Browns, and he worked with the equipment department. His only job is to make sure guys are wearing, first of all, wearing the right cleats. He's like, we got guys who are in the wrong shoes, wearing the wrong sizes. That part of it is pretty big. You put the wrong thing on your feet here, you're gonna damage yourself to the point where at some point you're breaking down.
Well, I mean, think about how many foot contacts that you'll have in a practice or a game.
Yeah, a lot.
It's a lot of foot contacts. Okay, so I mean, so just figure out how many foot contacts. So every time that foot strikes the ground, you know, the impulse from the ground up going through your body, you know, the shearing forces going through your body. So if you have the wrong shoes, or you have the wrong size, which some guys will try to put a shoe on that's like two sizes too small. Then you got some guys with two sizes too big. They got clown shoes on out there, you know. And what are you thinking, you know? And then the fact that it starts with your feet. So if you have a foot or ankle problem, you're done. You can break a finger. You know, you can play with a cast on your hand. You know, you can break your arm and play, but you know. you know, with the amount of contacts that that foot has to hit during a game, you are not going to be an effective football player. So, you know, you got to do a lot to protect the feet throughout the entire year.
Coach, as you get into the in season, then, have you found any kind of optimal format for that practice week? I know I've had a ton of interest in guys wanting to know more about, you know, some of the stuff that is taken off from Chip Kelly, where, you know, he calls it Fast Fridays, No Sweat Thursdays. What are your thoughts on just practice format during the week, again, so that these guys are ready to go on game day?
I mean, the thing is, when you go Fast Friday, you have to really control the reps. So what happens with a lot of coaches, you know, they're not happy with, we didn't run that play right. Let's do over and run again. And you really, each player really shouldn't have any more than 12 reps, you know, period. And it should be fast and done, and you're done. You got to get on and off the field in less than an hour. And if you can't abide by that, then you don't need to do it. You need to go back to the old school where you practice Thursday and take Friday off. The Fast Friday, you know, it's super compensation is a great, I like it, but again, it has to be really, really controlled and monitored. The problem is, you know, a lot of coaches is you play on Saturday and then they want to come in and watch film and they want to do what they call a flush workout. There's no such thing as flushing. You don't have a buildup of lactic acid, you know, from a game. You have buildup of trauma, you know, after a game. So there is no flush. It is, you know, an athlete's beat to hell and back. So you're not flushing anything out. You know, the body's traumatized from getting pounded on. I've always been in favor of Sunday off, but most coaches won't do that. And so they can come back and get an effective, you know, day in the weight room on Monday, usually that doesn't happen because they want to give Monday off because they can have a day off during the week. So we end up having to train on Sunday, you know, which I don't like, but it's because when you have a no sweat Thursday, you shouldn't lift at all. I mean, it's a complete shutdown of the central nervous system. So I have to go typically on Sunday and Wednesday are my two training days, my two lifting days because of trying to super compensate from Friday to Saturday.
I did have some coaches ask questions about, you know, reps in that Fast Friday. And the question was, really, does this apply for those coaches out there who have those two-way players? So you have that kid who plays tailback and safety. Is that a good,
nah,
you know, is that a good format for him?
Nope. No. I would go to old school, you know, taking, you know, like say you play on Friday. So Thursday is just your normal, you know, would be either your normal special teams, kind of easy day, kind of walkthrough type stuff, you know, but you know, you really, it's too hard. Even at the high school, at the big 5A level, guys still play both ways, you know? And so I think at the high school level, it doesn't work. I really do. I think you're better off giving them, you know, just a walk through the day before the game.
So hearing you, the key is number one, if you were to do this, it's, you know, and again, we'll go off the college run, the no sweat Thursday. I mean, you are shutting down the central nervous system. You aren't there out there running at all. It is completely a walkthrough, not a run through without pads. It's a walkthrough.
And some coaches out there, they'll run through it. They'll do a run through on Thursday. No, it's got to be when you say no sweat, we're talking about a walk. You are walking, walking or standing. You know, there's very little movement, and you really shouldn't be. You know, if you lift, it'd be like arms or something. You know, nothing that's going to inhibit the central nervous system whatsoever.
And then the Friday, as you said, is very, very limited in the amount of reps that they are out there sprinting around.
Right. It's fast. It is super fast. And it, like, you go and then you're done. Be perfect and you're done.
Yeah. And we like to adjust those to fit our purposes. So I think you got to look at the science behind things too and how that works, not just, well, these guys did it and sounds pretty cool, we'll do something like it, I'm going to modify it for my team. There is an exact purpose behind it.
No, there is no modification. It is or it isn't. Like our first day, we started a couple of years ago. Our first day, I sat there with a counter, and I sat there and clicked plays. And I was like, and we got up to like 40 plays. And I walked into the coach, the head coach. I said, look, let me explain this to y'all. This can't happen again. Now, we were playing an FCS school, so it didn't matter, you know. But if we were playing a conference game or a Power 5 team, we'd really get killed because the volume was way too high. And so, you know, I had to have a meeting with the whole staff and go, okay, if we're not going to abide by these parameters, we need to go back to what we used to do and have Fridays off.
To tie things up, Coach, because just some great information here in this short time, and, you know, I'm keeping these short at this time of the year for our coaches, too, because we don't want them having the mental fatigue. They got to be ready as well. But, you know, key to a player and really a team getting through a long season physically, you know, your best advice to coaches out there for those guys to really come through, you know, obviously injuries do happen that are out of control, but from the things we can control, what's the best tip you have for our coaches here as they approach 2019?
I mean, one, it's hard, but to semi try to monitor their sleep, because if they're not getting any sleep at all, they're not going to recover. They're gonna get injured. I mean, if they don't get 8 hours of sleep a day, I mean, they have a 20% chance, you know, that day of getting injured, you know, higher, you know, 20% greater chance. So, you know, teaching them how to black out their room, how to turn, you know, make sure they don't turn off all, you know, technology, you know, 45 minutes in advance, all blue light, and just, you know, to go to sleep. And then to try to stay, like, you know, we're pretty big on trying to keep guys off their cell phones because, you know, they think that everybody's living in a perfect world and everybody's life is a great life. And so it actually depresses humans, you know, because of technology, because of social media, and try to get them to more, and we try to interact with each other more throughout the season. Like, put this, you know, no cell phones are allowed. They go in your locker. They're not in meeting rooms. They're not, we eat together. Your cell phones are not at the table, and we, you know, more interaction with each other, which builds a stronger team, you know, to eat more meals and, you know, throughout a day, to drink, you know, to be hydrated more throughout the day. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, things like that for that nature of just coaching and communication that the athlete will stay healthier. Just by doing those small things.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're really busy right now. I would love to get you back here in the off season and talk more about all the things that you do and ways we can help our athletes out there. But again, thank you for your time and best of luck to you and your team in 2019.
Thank you, brother. Anytime you need me, just give me a shout.
Thank you again for listening to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. Please, if you are enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes or Spotify and click 5-star for a rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps the podcast. Check out our new home for the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. That's at coachandcoordinator.com. And follow me on Twitter at Coach K. Grabowski.